Leapers.
Written and read by TJ Tooley. Part 11. Isaac's knee would not stop shaking. He pulled up the feeds from the cameras he had placed around the building as multiple scenarios played through his head, all ending in his arrest. I can't go to prison, not for this. He started pacing around the cramped apartment. It was a tiny studio flat, without his personal belongings, stacked to the ceiling in poorly packed boxes, but now it was making him feel claustrophobic. He had moved out of the storage units so quickly that he didn't even know what was in each box. Isaac sat on the old dusty couch and crossed his legs. He tried to slow his breathing and get his heart rate to come down. "Well, that's not working," he said to the empty room as he stood back up and started pacing back and forth in the 5 feet of cleared walking space he had made. He went back to his computer and watched the feeds again. What felt like several hours later, Isaac heard a knock on the door. He pulled up the cameras that showed the front door, and he saw his father, Brandon James, standing on his welcome mat. He quickly clicked through the other cameras and saw Jesse Ford sitting in the stairwell in tears, using her phone, presumably to talk to their half-brother, Carson. He hoped he was on his way, too. Isaac activated his electronic lock, and the door swung open. "Hello, Father," Isaac said as Brandon walked inside. "Hello, Isaac. Have you found anything else?" "Nothing yet. What's wrong with her?" he asked, pulling up the feeds showing Jesse. "This order seeker guy just attacked her at Beckham Manor. He probably has Joseph now. She is understandably shaken." "Crap," Isaac said as he started pulling up any camera feed around Beckham Manor that he could find. "I'm going to get her. You know how she will react when she sees you." "I know," Isaac said as he took a deep breath in preparation for the coming confrontation. "I'm ready." Brandon stepped out and returned with Jesse. "Hello, Jesse," he said cautiously.
"Isaac,"
she said flatly.
"I'm glad you're safe."
Jesse just glared at him.
"Where is Carson?"
he asked, trying to diffuse the tension.
"He's on his way," Brandon said as he ushered Jesse to the couch.
"What is this place?"
she asked as she ran her finger across the dust-coated wall.
"This was my first apartment after I was kicked out of the manor," Brandon answered. "It was where I raised Isaac."
Isaac scoffed. "You raised me?" he asked sarcastically.
"Careful, son. I may be the only person still on your side when all of this is over."
Brandon looked as though he regretted his words.
"Sorry, this is just such an intense situation. I know I wasn't always the best parent. I acknowledge that. I did my best to be a single parent, but I still had my demons."
"Jesse, this is where I would sleep every night. After school, I would drop off my backpack on the couch you're sitting on and hang out with my friends at the homeless shelter across the street. I would help the volunteers serve dinner, then sometimes I would get a plate. Other times, I would have to wait until lunch the next day."
Isaac wasn't sure why, but he felt bad admitting all of that. He was just trying to make Brandon feel bad. He wasn't trying to win any brownie points from Jesse.
"Sorry. That's all in the past now," he said as he returned to looking at his computer monitor.
"Why did you leave the storage unit?" Jesse asked.
He could tell she was holding back a lot of emotions.
"That's part of why I brought you here," Brandon said as he stood up. "Carson's downstairs. I'll go get him. He should hear this too, Isaac."
Isaac could tell that Jesse was confused. He could feel the tension in the air as they sat silently, waiting for the others. A couple awkward minutes later, Brandon returned with Carson.
"Carson!"
Jesse exclaimed as she stood up and wrapped her arms around his neck. I'm sorry I wasn't there, he said as he held her close. I should have been there to protect you.
I'm okay. It's okay, I promise.
Carson turned and looked at Isaac. You better have a damn good explanation for what's happening, he said with pure hatred in his eyes. He walked purposefully towards the desk and lifted Isaac to his feet by his throat. Let him go, Carson, Brandon yelled. Isaac gasped for breath as he tried to break free. The look in Carson's eyes was one he had only seen once before in Harold Garner's office. Remembering that horrible man made him remember how much he had personally cost him, specifically the chance to join the Order and bond with Carson. Carson, his brother, the same person who had been ignoring him for weeks, the same person who chose the lying Beckham girl over him, the same person who had always assumed the worst of him. He felt himself growing angrier and angrier. This man was supposed to be his brother, his family. Carson chose Jesse as his family and pushed him away. Carson, who got to grow up in a loving home, while he got this tiny apartment with an absentee, alcoholic father and the homeless shelter across the street. Isaac felt the fire burning inside of him. The rage he had been feeling for Harold, for his father, for Jesse, and now Carson, was all bubbling over and was directed solely at his brother.
Get off me,
he yelled between gasps for air. With all the strength he could muster, he brought his arms crashing down on Carson's arm. He let go, and Isaac pushed Carson backwards and pinned him against a tower of boxes.
I have done nothing but be there for you since we have met. I tried everything I could to be a family, but you don't give a damn about me.
Brandon stepped in and pushed the two apart.
Enough, he bellowed.
Stop this right now, both of you.
Isaac's heart was racing. His throat was hurting. He glared at Carson, who was being held back by one of Brandon's outstretched hands. He looked at the couch, but Jesse was no longer there. Now, I'm going to go track down Jesse, in case neither of you noticed, she left. He opened the door. I expect you two to figure out your crap by the time I get back here. Understand? Isaac looked at Carson, who still appeared to be fuming. Fine, he said as he continued to glare at Isaac. Fine. Brandon slammed the door shut, and the two were alone. Where's Margaret? Carson demanded.
I don't know.
Cut the crap. Just tell me.
I'm telling you, I don't know. Our father brought you and Jesse here so we can work together to find her.
He could tell Carson didn't believe him.
Look, I know you don't like me and you don't trust me or whatever, but if you can't look past this anger, we won't get anywhere.
Carson sat down on the couch and took a deep breath.
Okay, I'm sorry I attacked you just now.
I probably had it coming, Isaac said with a chuckle. Let's just say we're even for the storage unit. Carson slightly chuckled. Fair enough. We really are a dysfunctional family. Isaac sat down at his desk.
Look, if I'm being honest, I have always been a bit jealous of you.
Jealous? Of me? Why?
Because I don't have what you have. You got to grow up in a loving home, you have a legitimate career, you have an awesome girlfriend, and now you get to be part of the secret organization I bonded with you over. I tried to make something of my life, but I just ended up back in our father's stupid tiny apartment.
This is Brandon's apartment?
It was my childhood home. He wasn't here most of the time, then he pretended to die, and this is basically all I got.
He left me an apartment too. When I found out about us being brothers, all I could think about was you getting a chance to grow up with our dad. I resented him for a lot, but I guess I never really considered that you might have had it worse growing up.
When I found out I had a brother, I was so excited. I grew up alone. I had some friends, sure, but they all had siblings, and I always wanted one. When I looked you up and saw how awesome you were at your job and how perfect your home life looked, I knew I wanted that too, but I was too afraid to approach you, so I watched from a distance. Our father wanted us to bond over this Order stuff, and you found me through it. The wreaths that drove him crazy brought us together. I loved spending that time with you, even if I had to share it with Jesse. Then it all just stopped. I felt abandoned again. It really hurt. The two sat silently for a moment.
I'm sorry. That must have sucked. You have to know, I didn't know you were my brother until last night.
I know. I just felt like I had lost two close friends when you and Jesse ghosted me on the most important night of our research.
That's fair, Carson said. He looked like he was contemplating whether he should tell him something or not.
The reason
I stopped talking to you was because of Harold's death. I think you killed him, and that makes you dangerous. Isaac felt his eyes on him. Well, did you do it? I told you, it was an electrical malfunction. Did you do it, Isaac? Isaac took a deep breath. Yes, but I didn't want to kill him. I just wanted him to lose. I made sure nobody else was there. I expected him to be saved, but he was too drunk to... See, that's what I'm talking about, Carson interrupted. He stood up and started pacing back and forth. If you're capable of doing that, how can I trust you? Jesse's whole family goes missing at the hands of somebody who has a vendetta against the order that you didn't get into using the same code name you used when we first met. How do you think that looks to us? I know how it looks. I deserve every bit of anger and speculation, but if you want to find Jesse's family, we need to work together. Carson looked at him with uncertainty. Cards on the table, brother. That's why I had our father bring you here. I want to tell you and Jesse everything I know about her family's disappearances and help right some wrongs. I know I will pay for what I've done. I've accepted that. But I want to do what I can so that others do not have to suffer. Will you give me that chance? Carson studied his eyes. Isaac could see his mind working. The expert interviewer was processing everything they had just said to each other. If you cross us again, I will bring you down and you will never see the light of day again. Isaac smiled at him. Agreed, brother. Carson went out into the hallway to get Jesse and Brandon. Did you boys figure it out? Brandon asked as they took their seats on the couch. We did, Carson said. We came to an understanding. Jesse, he says he has some answers, but I don't know much more than that. All three of them turned to face Isaac, who was sitting at his desk. Right, so let me start out by saying that I am so sorry for how poorly I have handled things lately. I can sometimes let my anger get the better of me, and that's something I will have to work on about myself. Tick-tock, Brandon said while he pointed at his watch. Yes, time. So for this to make sense, I need to tell you about my mental state the last few weeks. I felt abandoned by you two when you stopped answering my messages and calls out of the blue. This led me to believe that you found a way to apply for the order or you were approached by a leaper. I wasn't sure why you wouldn't tell me until I realized that Jesse, who was already keeping a lot of secrets, must have been recruiting you, Carson. I had suspicions that Harold or Everett Gardner was put in charge of recruiting me because of the random job offer and the questions they would sometimes ask me, but I never heard anything specifically about the order, especially after I had a bit of a falling out with Harold. You mean when you killed him? Jesse sneered. That human trash bag got what he deserved, Isaac responded coldly. Get back on track, said Brandon. Anyway, Isaac continued. I started recording the church because we already knew it was an important meeting place. I watched even more closely on meeting days and the nights before the first of each month. Imagine my surprise when I saw you, Carson, putting a mysterious book on a statue, then leaving it without turning your back. Did you know Jesse was there watching you too? I didn't, Carson said, looking at Jesse. You said you were busy that night. You had to do that part alone, remember? Carson nodded in agreement, but Isaac could tell that he did not feel completely comfortable with being watched and followed by her. That was when you both truly started ignoring me. We talked a few times on the phone, sometimes accidentally, right, Carson? Carson stared straight ahead, not meeting his gaze. Isaac stood up and began pacing in front of the couch, glaring at all of them. But what really hurt was when Leap Year Day was coming up, and I knew people would be joining, and I had not been approached by anybody. I fooled myself into thinking you would tell me how to apply, since we were, you know, a team. But I was mistaken. I continued to be ignored by you, Carson, and left on read by you, Jesse. Speed it up, Isaac, Brandon said. Fine, Isaac said. After the ceremony is where things started to get weird. I received an unexpected call from Everett Gardner wanting to meet up and talk. He saw the confused expressions on their faces. He and I didn't interact much when I worked for his father, but we grew close after I was let go. He was there for me when I was going through losing my first two friends in years and all of the stress of my not-dead father's games. Get to the point, Brandon said, sounding angrier. He had been to my old place several times, so I had him meet me at the storage units. They were mostly empty at that point, but I still had my office set up there. So I let him in and asked him why he was there. He told me he wanted to make sure I was okay because I was not at the ceremony. I of course told him I had no idea what he was talking about. He told me that I was supposed to be there and that he found out that the Beckhams had fought to keep me out of the order. Isaac watched their faces. There was a look of shame in all of their eyes, particularly Jesse's. I guess that means all of you know why he would say that. I, once again, was the chump. The last to know. Isn't that right, sister dearest?
Isaac, I didn't know. We didn't know until last night either, Jesse said as she gestured to herself and Carson.
It doesn't matter, said Isaac. What matters is that my father found yet another way to ruin my life. Why wouldn't you tell me who my mother was? Were you worried I would approach one of the wealthiest families in the country and say, Hi, you don't know me, but I think I'm your illegitimate child.
It's not that simple,
Isaac mocked, cutting him off. I'm sick of that phrase you hide behind. Be upfront for once. Isaac realized how tightly he was clenching his fists and relaxed. So, Everett told me who my mother is and why she and the rest of you Beckhams fought for me to not be allowed to join. Oh, and that's where you come in, he said while pointing at Brandon. After the ceremony, you came to my storage unit door wanting to talk too. You told me that you had told Carson about us being brothers. I told you we were no longer on speaking terms, and that's when you got angry, huh? Pushing me against the wall, demanding that I tell you that I killed Harold Garner because he told me about who my mother was. Ha! Little did you know that it was Everett who had just told me, and he was hiding just out of earshot. Isaac thought he detected a hint of shame on his father's face. For some reason, this did not make him feel better like he thought it would. After I kicked you out, I was hurt and extremely angry. Everett offered to stay with me for a while, and we spent the rest of the morning moving things out of the units into this crappy apartment before the sun came up. After Everett left, I was tired and still angry. I tried to sleep, but had no luck, so I did what anybody else would do in my situation. I attempted to contact my mother. Isaac took a deep breath. He was not particularly proud of what had happened next, but they deserved to know the truth. I tried to reach her at the manor before work, but she would not see me, so I had to confront her on the street outside of a building downtown. I demanded to know if she knew who I was and if she had intentionally kept me out of the order. She said she knew and personally did not vote for me or Carson, but ultimately one of us got through. She said I didn't get through because of Harold Gardner's death, but I didn't believe her. I was angry, so I made a plan to get my revenge. This was my mother, and she dismissed me out of hand time and time again. Isaac, Carson asked cautiously as he stood in front of him, what did you do?
I let my mind go a little crazy. I typed up a plan that would be payback for Margaret single-handedly taking everything I could have had away from me. Everett told me that you were kidnapped as part of your leap day testing, so I thought it would be satisfying to use that against her. When I moved back into this apartment, I knew I wanted a different place for my less than legal activities, so I built a secret bunker inside of the homeless shelter next door. I practically grew up there, and I volunteered there so much that nobody questioned why I was there so much. It was soundproof by design, and all of the tech I put in around it would theoretically hide my signals like the storage units used to. It was my sanctuary, but in my fantasy, it was a perfect torture chamber.
You are beyond messed up, Jesse said coldly. You're right. My mind is messed up, but I never planned to follow through with my plan. Everett came over and calmed me down, and after he left, I didn't think about the crazy plans again. Not until you told me Margaret was missing when I saw you at the storage unit.
You expect me to believe you didn't know she was taken until after the first ransom call? Jesse asked.
I do. It's what happened. When you told me how she went missing and that the person who took her was using my code name, I started to panic. I came back here as fast as I could. I went across the street to my bunker, and it had been cleared out. Harold Gardner's old robes, all the other Leaper's items I'd collected, were gone too. All the security camera footage from the building had been wiped. Somebody used my plan, my execution, and my name to take your mother, and then moved her, and I don't know where they took her. Isaac tried to go on, but he was having difficulty catching his breath.
That's when he called me, Brandon said. We were all at the units with the police when I got the call. I told you two that I had to take care of something, that something was come here and see what I could do to track Margaret down and prove that Isaac didn't take her.
What did you find? Carson asked.
Nothing. The downside to Isaac's skills is that he is rarely on cameras and rarely tracked geographically.
So you can't prove that he did not take her?
Brandon looked at Isaac apologetically. No, we can't yet.
I want to see it, said Jesse.
My bunker? Isaac asked, sounding confused.
No, I want to see your dream journal. Yes, the bunker. I want to see where my mom was kept prisoner. Let's go.
Isaac led the group out of the apartment, across the street, and into the homeless shelter. Nobody said a word as they walked. They got some strange looks as they walked through the common areas, but nobody stopped them when they saw Isaac. He led them to a door with a sign that read, Staff Only, and had a code lock. He entered the code and led them into the basement.
This is where all of the extra supplies are stored, Isaac said as he gestured to the many metal shelves, most of which were empty.
He led them to the back wall, which was lined with shelves. He pulled the middle rack out like a massive door, and part of the wall came with it.
You built a fake wall? Carson asked. If Isaac didn't know any better, he would say Carson was impressed.
Behind the wall was a massive black box that dominated the small space. He opened the door for them and turned on the lights.
I haven't touched anything since I found it empty. He watched as the others inspected the cube.
Can you still turn it on? Brandon asked.
The TVs? Isaac asked.
I think so.
He made his way to the control panel and turned on the setup.
It was supposed to be my escape into the world, but now I'm afraid it has become something that took someone away from it.
The others were looking at themselves on the cameras.
It's only showing the backs of our heads, Jesse said.
I can change that, Isaac said. He typed in some commands. This should now be showing your faces.
He watched them walk around the space more.
The purpose of the technology was more for places like this. He changed the screen so that it showed a jungle floor, then the ocean, then deep space. He joined them inside of the cube.
Like I said, Jesse, I do have a messed up mind, but I did not do this to your mother.
Let me show you what Brandon and I looked at while he was here, Isaac said as he turned on the computer, which had been moved out of the cube. He pulled up the security camera footage for them to watch. We looked over the footage from after the ceremony hundreds of times. He zoomed in on the Beckhams' town car. Here is where the robe boy shows up carrying Margaret. The driver opens the back door and the two get in. Then, if you look here, you'll see somebody else sneak into the passenger seat. A few seconds later, the driver door is open and the driver is pushed out onto the sidewalk. Carson and Jesse watched and rewatched from every angle possible.
Where did the car go after this? Carson asked.
It shows up here next, Isaac said as he navigated to another camera view. Then it stays on this road until there are no more cameras. Eventually, it ends up in front of the shelter. There is a single security camera near the front door, but it was tampered with.
They all reviewed the footage in silence before Jesse gasped.
There!
Isaac paused the playback.
What? Where?
Go back to the car making the turn, she said while pointing at the screen. Look at the back windows.
They watched at half speed as the car disappeared around the building.
Now show the next camera.
Isaac obliged.
The guy in the robes laid my mom in the back seat, but he was still sitting up. But when the car goes around the corner, boom, no robe guy.
Carson and Brandon leaned in closely so they could see what she was talking about.
Go back to the camera in front of the church, Carson ordered.
Just stay on this view. Let it play out.
There, right there, he exclaimed while pointing to the cemetery. It's faint, but you can see it for a split second. Right there. Somebody's running back to the church.
Oh dear, Brandon said as he sat back down on the couch. It was somebody we counted that night.
Jesse leaned in close to stare at the dark figure.
This order seeker is a leaper.
The group rewatched the footage over and over. Isaac checked, and the mysterious leaper in the hood only showed up on two cameras after he got out of the car, and both times managed to stay almost invisible. It's like he knew where the cameras would be and navigated them as perfectly as humanly possible, he said as the others watched over his shoulder.
The good part about this is our suspect pool has been narrowed down significantly, Carson said as he began pacing around the small space.
Who can we eliminate right away? Brandon asked as he pulled out a small notepad and a pen.
Old habits die hard, huh? Carson said as he smiled at Brandon. He had already pulled out his phone to take notes.
Carson and I were together when the lights went out. Once they kicked back on, we talked to Uncle Wentz. He wouldn't have had time to make it outside and get back in time.
Good. Who else?
I...
Carson and Jesse looked at each other as they struggled to come up with another name. I guess we know the President Bill and the guy who turned off the lights were there, said Carson.
And the next person we saw would have been you, Brandon,
Jesse added. Brandon wrote those names on his short list. Anybody else?
Who can you eliminate?
Jesse asked. Oh, I didn't really see anybody specifically. I was too busy looking through the crowd for you two. Nobody bumped into you in the dark? Carson asked. Nobody was standing by you when the lights kicked on? Nothing? I saw people, obviously, Brandon said, sounding defensive. But I didn't recognize anybody specifically. I don't exactly spend much time with these people. Isaac watched the scene before him unfold with intrigue. Why was his father being so suspicious? We are asking the wrong questions, Brandon said. If this person is trying to frame Isaac, we need to be asking who would want to do it and why, and more importantly, who would know about this place. He gestured to the room around them. Of course, Carson said as he looked at Isaac. Isaac, unless you have any enemies in the Order already, we may need to look into your new friend. Isaac felt like he had been punched in the gut. He wouldn't have done this. Why would he do this to me? Maybe because you killed his father and he found out, Carson suggested. Son, he knew you moved. He had seen this place. He helped you set it up for God's sake. And most importantly, he was around when you made the plan.
Isaac didn't believe it.
Everett made a lot of sense as a suspect, and it hurt that his friendship may have been all for nothing. Isaac felt Jesse glaring at him. They were in the back seat of Brandon's rental car as he wove through the downtown streets. She had not said a word to him since they left the shelter.
We should have just turned you in, she said. The police could lock you up and stop you from making things worse, and if you are behind this, it saves them the trouble of tracking you down.
You are sure he'll be at the office? Carson asked, changing the subject. His secretary said he would be in all day, Brandon said as he pulled the car into the parking garage. The group walked the remaining two blocks in the shadow of the Gardner Industries tower. Isaac opened the door and Brandon walked through, but Jesse scoffed and opened the next door for herself. Isaac was about to walk in too when Carson put his hand on his shoulder to stop him. You guys go ahead, Carson said to the others. We'll meet you inside in a second. Isaac followed Carson to the side of the building next to the doors. Look, Isaac, I just need to say this. You know how much you messed up, right? Like, even if you didn't lay a finger on the Beckhams personally, you planned all of it. You know you can still go to prison for conspiracy or as an accessory at best. Isaac leaned against the wall and stared up at the buildings across the street. I know. It's just been a rough couple months, and I think it all bubbled over after my fight with Harold and our fallout. Look, man, I know how much of a douche Harold was, and my entire life just turned upside down too. I only found out our father was alive 2 days ago, and I found out that I had a brother at the same time. Imagine how shocked I was to find out that not only did I have a secret sibling, but that I knew him already. He leaned against the wall next to Isaac. Jesse's entire world just turned upside down too, worse than either of us. In the last 2 days, she found out that her secret brother's father was her boyfriend's dead father who actually faked his death. Then her mom went missing. Then the rest of her family went missing one by one until she was attacked in her own home. Add to that the fact that her secret brother was a primary suspect in the kidnappings of her family. She was understandably angry, and then things got worse when she found out that you can't prove your innocence, and even if you are, you planned this whole mess. Isaac felt ashamed. Just writing your plan down alone could result in you being charged with a felony. I know you probably didn't consider that there would be any repercussions to your fantasizing, but you have to know you're probably going to prison, if not for this, for Harold. I know, Isaac said as he nervously picked at the skin around his fingernails. I know. I think an apology to Jesse would go a long way, even if she never accepts it or forgives you. And who knows, maybe if you help find her family and help catch the guy who took them, you might get a lesser sentence. Why are you being nice to me, Carson? I haven't exactly been kind to you either. As dumb as it might sound, it's because you're my brother. I thought about turning you in, watching you get locked up, and never thinking about you again. But the more I thought about that, the more I thought about how I felt when my father abandoned me. You, more than anybody else, know what that was like. Whether I like it or not, you're my family, and whether you like it or not, Jesse is too. I will never approve of everything you've done, but I will not turn my back on my family. Isaac felt tears in the back of his eyes. Thanks, Carson. Once we find the Beckhams, I will turn myself in. It's the right thing to do. Now let's catch up with the others. Isaac led the others to Everett's office. He thought he saw some sideways glances from security guards, but nobody stopped them as they made their way to the top floor. The receptionist told them they would have to wait a few minutes while Everett wrapped up a phone call, so they took their seats in the waiting room. Isaac sat across from the others and mustered up the courage to face Jesse. "Hey, can I talk to you for a second?" he asked as he walked over to her chair. "I don't have anything to say to you," she said coldly. "That's okay. I understand." "You should give him a chance," Carson said as he nudged her with his elbow. "Fine," she said as she stood up. "I'll give you 2 minutes." He followed her around the corner towards the elevators. "Okay, what do you want?" "I wanted to tell you that I'm sorry for putting you in this situation." She scoffed and rolled her eyes and started walking back towards the others. "Wait, before you go, I know I owe you so much more than an apology. It was messed up to even think about doing this to your mom. I know you may never forgive me either. I understand if you don't. We may never be friends, and that's okay. I owe you this much. I probably created this problem, and I will do everything in my power to make this right."
"My mom was kidnapped," she said with tears in her eyes. "You either took her, or your plan was used by somebody you know. I don't think I can ever forgive you."
"I know. And after we find your family, I will turn myself in. I will go to prison for what I did. I know that." The group waited in silence for a few minutes before Everett's secretary walked out to meet them. She led them back to a large conference room where they all took seats around the ornately carved wooden table. They were offered beverages, and a few minutes later, Everett himself walked in. "Hey everyone, thanks for waiting." He sat at the head of the table and opened his tablet. "I'm guessing you're here to ask for help finding the Beckhams."
"Something like that," said Jesse.
Everett laughed uncomfortably. "What do you mean?"
"Everett, are you behind this?" Isaac asked. "I know you remember the crazy plan I made, and you were the only person who could have known about it and my secret bunker."
Everett looked at Isaac with concern. "Isaac, I was there to support my friend. I'm hurt that you would accuse me of this. The Beckhams have been a huge part of my life since I was born. Jesse here has been like a sister to me my whole life. I would never do something to hurt her. You understand me?" Isaac stared at Everett, trying to read his face.
"Everett, anything you can do to help would be appreciated," Brandon said, breaking the silence.
"Well, Brandon, I'm glad you asked. I've actually had my cyber division working on this since Margaret went missing." He turned on the projector and pulled up a PowerPoint on his tablet. "This is the timeline we have been able to put together. The ceremony started at 8 p.m., the lights went out at approximately 8:45, at which point Margaret was carried to the town cars." He clicked to the next slide, which showed the security camera footage they had already seen. "This is the best view of the perpetrator we have been able to find. Our hooded friend appears to be a Caucasian male, judging from the exposed wrists. He is approximately 5'10" and somewhere between 180 and 200 pounds. A second suspect wearing dark clothing with his face covered gets in the passenger seat, where we believe he uses chloroform on the driver before driving the car away himself. This individual appears to be of similar height and build as the first man."
"Then the hooded man gets out around the corner and runs back to the church through the cemetery," Jesse said impatiently. "Everett, no offense, but we know all of this already."
Okay, let's fast forward then. The security camera on the homeless shelter across from Isaac's apartment was damaged, but one of the other tenants had a security camera focused on their window. Based on this footage, we know the car stopped at the shelter from 9:13 to 9:27 p.m. The driver's face is obscured. He carries Margaret inside and reappears alone. This camera also shows us what we believe to be Margaret being moved. He fast-forwarded through the footage. "Right here we see two men claiming to be making a delivery, one appearing to be a black or African American male, and the other we believe to be one of the two men from the kidnapping.
Both of them have their faces obscured. The shelter claimed there was no delivery scheduled that day. The men go inside with this oversized plastic box. Then, almost 20 minutes later, they come back outside with the same box and appear to be struggling with the weight more, and they also have a second box that they did not have before. We followed the truck, and it disappears into this covered garage. There are cameras at the entrances, but not full coverage inside. The truck has not left this garage. We believe the men moved your mother into a different car and left with her in the trunk. He walked over to Isaac and put his hands on his shoulders. I'm sorry, this might be hard for you, but this is where things start to be suspicious. He clicked to the next slide, titled Theory. We know that Carson, Jesse, and Brandon, you were all at Beckham Manor during the first ransom call. Carson, Jesse, you both drove to the storage unit to confront Isaac, who happened to be there finishing the move out. Brandon, you went to the storage units with Joseph, Beckham, and the police. That's where you met up with him again. Then he disappears and goes straight to the apartment across the street from where Margaret was kept. He stays for about an hour before getting in his car and... Where do you go? Do you want to tell them or should I? You did leave for a couple hours, Isaac said. Where did you go?
I had some order business to attend to, some high council things I can't get into.
Business in the same parking lot that Margaret was taken to? Everett says as he pulled up the security footage, showing him pulling his car into a parking spot and entering the building. Brandon, how tall would you say you are? Everett asked.
This is absurd, Brandon said, sounding exasperated.
Carson, Isaac, Jesse, you know I have been doing nothing but trying to find Margaret since she was taken.
We thought so, too, Everett said as he clicked to the next slide.
There is quite a lot of unaccounted for time in the last 48 hours, Brandon. For a dead man, you sure have been busy.
You do have quite a few motives, Isaac said. You blame Margaret, and probably the other Beckhams for kicking you out, and you blame Margaret for having to raise me alone. Shoot, you probably still blame them for Kelly's death.
Isaac, that's enough.
No, it's not. Where are they?
Both of you shut up, Carson yelled as he slammed his hands on the table.
Brandon, what do you know that you aren't telling us?
Son, I told you, I can't tell you.
Fine, he said angrily. Jesse and I are going to have a word in the hallway. The rest of you stay put and try not to kill each other.
Isaac watched the two step out and disappear around the corner.
What the hell are you playing at? Brandon bellowed at Everett.
I'm choosing to believe that my friend Isaac didn't kidnap his birth mother and her family. You, on the other hand, I don't know. I know you are powerful. I know that you have a new identity and can do whatever you want without being traced because of your position in Europe. But I don't know you, and what you would do if you found out that somebody you already despise wronged you or your boys.
It's not that simple.
If you do choose to believe that Isaac did this, then I can assume that you would feel guilty for how you raised him and would try to cover for him.
We are here because we think you took him. I'm not the one on trial here.
Carson and Jesse walked back into the room and the others fell quiet. Here's what's going to happen, Carson announced. We're splitting up. Brandon, you're coming with me. Jesse will be going with Isaac and Everett. By spreading out, we'll cover more ground and hopefully be able to find them tonight. We'll keep in touch with our phones, but if we can't find anything, we'll meet back here tomorrow morning at 8. Got it? Isaac and the others reluctantly agreed.
Good. Let's go, Jesse said purposefully. The clock is ticking, people.
Isaac and Jesse stayed in the conference room after Brandon and Carson left.
So we are investigating Brandon while he and Carson investigate Everett? Isaac whispered to her. Carson's going to keep an eye on Brandon so we can determine if he's hiding something or not. Put the best investigative journalist I know on him.
So where do we start? He asked.
That's the tricky part, said Everett. Unfortunately, you could also be one of the men in the footage. We haven't been able to track your movements very well, so I need you to try and figure out how you can prove your alibi.
He opened a different slide. This is your neighbor's camera again. We see you on here moving things when you said you were. However, you were nowhere to be seen during any of the suspected times for Margaret's movements. Figure out a way to prove where you were. He stood up and buttoned up his jacket. Now, I must be going because I have a meeting. My team has been monitoring Brandon since he arrived in the United States, and they will keep trying to find your family, and I will let you two know what, if anything, we can find. I would recommend you both go back to Isaac's apartment. Isaac is a person of interest, and Jesse, you may be being hunted as we speak.
I will check in with both of you in about 2 hours. If you don't answer, we'll know that Isaac is the guilty party. Why don't you two take one of the company cars? Stay safe, you two. Before Isaac could think of a response, Everett had left the room.
Well, I guess we don't have much of a choice, said Jesse. Let's go. You wanted a chance to prove your innocence? Don't make me regret this.
Isaac watched Jesse nervously looking through the various garbage around the apartment. It had been over an hour since they left Everett's office.
You really have nothing that can prove you were here the last few days?
Isaac was digging through his computer files.
Everything that might have been date-coded is gone. I think somebody got into my system, which I didn't think was possible. Can you track who did it?
I'm trying. Jesse looked exasperated.
I'm gonna make some calls.
Isaac watched her on the security cameras. She had come a long way from blinded by her hatred of him to now being open to the possibility that it was somebody else. Maybe I was being too hard on her.
Nothing yet, she said as she walked back inside. Find anything?
Nope, Isaac said truthfully. Are you hungry at all? I know you are going through a lot, so you might not be, but I can order us some food, have it delivered here so we can keep working.
Yeah, okay.
The two kept working even long after finishing their Chinese takeout. They received a call from the police chief saying they had swept a 5-block radius around the mysterious parking garage, as well as 2 other sites Everett had called in. I think we're getting closer, Isaac said.
There is literally no way you could know that, said Jesse.
I know, but I think you should hold on to hope.
Hope isn't getting me anywhere. All I know is that I'm going to believe my family is alive, and for now I'm choosing to believe that you did not take them yourself. So that leaves me with whatever leads the police or the man I suspect of taking my family will give us.
Isaac wasn't sure what to say. She was in a difficult spot. Have you heard from Carson?
He said that he and Brandon were putting together what they could for his alibi, but had not had much luck finding my family.
I'm sorry, Jesse. If there's anything more I can do...
Do what? If there's something more you could do, then why wouldn't you have done it already?
Isaac stepped back.
Sorry, she said with a sincere look. I didn't mean to snap at you. I'm just getting more and more stressed the longer they're missing.
Isaac felt sorry for her. Do you want to go home? I can take you to Beck Manor or Carson's apartment.
That's nice of you, but I'm okay for now.
The two continued researching individually in silence. Hours passed. Jesse even fell asleep on the couch at some point. Isaac dug through some of the boxes looking for a blanket, but could only find a few winter coats. He picked up the least dusty one he could find and laid it over her, trying not to wake her. Isaac woke up. He was still sitting at his desk. Jesse's phone was ringing on the floor next to the couch.
Hey, Jesse, wake up. You should get that,
he said sleepily. She slowly sat up and answered the call.
Hello? Really? Oh, crap. Okay, we'll head there now.
She started putting on her shoes and coat. Who was that? What happened? Where are we going?
That was Everett. He said that Brandon is keeping my family at Gardner Manor.
Gardner Manor? Isaac asked, completely bewildered.
But it burnt down. I guess the basement is still intact. Come on, we gotta go.
Isaac put on his shoes as quickly as he could. He couldn't believe that his father had been behind this all along. And worse, Brandon was going to frame him for all of this. Some father.
Should we call Carson and tell him? Isaac asked as they scrambled out of the door. He's with Brandon right now. Everett said we can't let Brandon know that we know where his secret prison is, or he might move them before we get there, or worse.
Jesse wanted to drive and sped the whole way, running every single red light. Isaac was shocked that they were not pulled over. Jesse parked the Gardner Industries car at the front of the house and started quickly climbing over the rubble.
Jesse, be careful,
Isaac called out. She was moving much faster than he was. She made her way into a wing of the house that was still standing. They entered the surprisingly undamaged kitchen and the adjacent hallway.
The basement stairs are around here somewhere, if I remember correctly,
she said as she tried a couple of water-damaged doors.
I haven't been here in a long time.
Isaac was fascinated by what was still standing and what wasn't. The fire, smoke, and water damage was beautiful in a strange way.
Here it is,
Jesse said as she finally opened the correct door. As she swung it open, all hell broke loose. There were flashes of light and smoke began to fill the room. Isaac heard voices yelling orders, but he couldn't make out what they were saying. He felt himself being tackled to the ground by a man in full police tactical gear.
The man on top of him yelled through his mask, "I got him! I got him!"
Carson slammed another garage door shut. Another bust.
"Carson, let's call it a night," Brandon said as they sat in the rental car. "You are exhausted. The sun is coming up soon. Let's just go back to your place for an hour of shut-eye before we meet up with the others."
Carson did not want to admit it, but he knew his father was right. They had spent the entire night searching various properties Everett or his family owned.
"Okay, just to rest. Get some coffee and then leave. Deal?"
"Deal."
Carson felt bad, but he had been having fun working with his dad. It was an experience he had been craving for most of his life. The circumstances were unfortunate, but he was having fun. He felt like they were learning from each other as they went, mutually enjoying seeing the other work. As Brandon drove, Carson scrolled through social media to see what he had missed in the news. To his surprise, there was a breaking story on NNT. One of the morning show reporters was standing in front of the gates of Gardner Manor. The ribbon at the bottom of the screen read, "Beckham family found alive."
"Whoa, Dad, check it out, they found him."
Carson tapped the video to start listening to what the reporter, Candace, was saying. "The house burned down, killing businessman Harold Gardner in January of this year. The cause was initially reported as an accident caused by an electrical fire, but the Gardner family pushed for the fire to be investigated as an arson case. Here with me now is Harold Gardner's son, Everett." Carson watched as the camera panned out to reveal Everett standing next to her. "Mr. Gardner, can you tell us what happened here tonight?"
"Well, Candace, we had been investigating a disgruntled former employee of Gardner Industries named Isaac James since his termination."
A picture of Isaac's face appeared on the screen.
"We suspected my father might be in danger after he and Mr. James had verbal and physical altercations in his office and in this house. After he was fired from Gardner Industries, his life started to spiral. He found out that his birth mother was the first kidnapping victim, Miss Margaret Ford. Our investigators have footage of him confronting her on the street shortly after discovering this secret. Mr. James wanted what he believed to be his. He started blackmailing Joseph Beckham under the monocle of Order Seeker. We believe that this name refers to his desire to have his proper house in order, in other words, to get what is rightfully his. After Mr. Beckham did not give in to his ransom orders, he kidnapped Miss Gwendolyn Beckham to put more pressure on Mr. Beckham. When he still refused to give in to his demands, Mr. James started to get desperate. He attacked Mr. Beckham and his granddaughter, Jessica Ford, in their own home full of police officers. He somehow managed to get Mr. Beckham out of the house, but what Mr. James did not know was that we had put a tracker inside of Mr. Beckham's shoe. This led us to discovering where Mr. James was keeping his victims. We still did not have hard evidence that Mr. James was behind this, so we chose to stake out the house, waiting for him to make his move with Miss Ford. When she did not give in to his demands, he would likely torture the family in front of her. We now have Mr. James on camera bringing another victim to his prison under the ashes of my family home, where he killed my father in a stolen Gardner Industries company car. This man is a sadistic criminal who deserves to be locked up for the rest of his life."
Carson stopped the video and called Jesse.
"Hey, are you okay? I just saw the news."
"Carson, I'm okay. I'm safe,"
Jesse said. She sounded like she was in shock.
"You have to listen to me. It wasn't Isaac. Everett called me and told me and Isaac to come here. It was a setup. Everett is hiding something. We need to—"
Carson heard the call ended on Jesse's end.
"Jesse? Hello? Jesse?"
"Son, what's going on?" Brandon asked as he continued to drive.
"It wasn't Isaac. Everett knows something. We need to do something."
As he was talking, he sent a message to Everett. "Your office. 1 hour. We need to talk."
To be continued.